1 John chapter 5, as we continue our series on this book that focuses on the walk with the resurrected Christ, where our theme is In Step with Jesus, but we've been in this book, even prior to that, looking at the heartbeat of the Apostle John, that he wanted those to whom he was working with to understand that they could have a deep, intimate relationship with the resurrected Christ. You find that right at the very beginning of the first chapter, and you see throughout this book what the abiding life looks like, and the victory over sin, the right kind of response to other people, and an understanding of truth. And when believers are not abiding in that real relationship, then there are problems. And he cycles this through several times through the book of 1 John. And now we're getting near the conclusion, some very important verses on how we should, and the fact that we can have confidence. We can have confidence in our relationship with him, verse 13. We can have confidence that we can have a hearing with God as we, two things that we find both in chapter 3 and then here. Number one, if we are keeping his words, if we have his heart, and if we are praying according to the will of God, according to the scripture, and are in heartbeat with him, we'll have a hearing, and the prayers that we pray then are guaranteed that they will be answered. Wonderful confidence. And we need to be living in the reality of answered prayer day by day. It ought not be a surprise. It ought not be a shock. It ought to be part of our life. And I thank God for what he is doing in that regard in our midst. But I want to go now to the confidence that we can have in intercession. The verses on confidence in our relationship and in prayer go right into then, just based upon that, the kind of heart we need to have when we see someone that is in need. During World War II, pilots, if you've read the stories about the many different missions in many precarious places all over the European and Pacific regions, you would find how many of them would be, the planes would come back crippled. And the famous saying then was, they came in on a wing and a prayer. Well, there's more to that than just a little saying. People, of course, were praying for them. I'm telling you, folks, there are a lot of crippled Christians. There are a lot of Christians, as we're going to see in this passage, who are about to crash. But our prayer can be the thing that makes a difference. Because remember, God is so worked in his divine economy that there has to be the joining of the human will with the divine will for the divine will to be accomplished. That's a mystery, but that's the way it is. We are part of his work in this day, and prayer is what is God's means for him to do the fullness of what he wants to do. And yet, I'm telling you, folks, we just live in unbelief. A woman lived in a small house built at the foot of a tall mountain, and the mountain obstructed her view and made her house dark for a good part of the day. Well, she read Christ's promise there in Mark chapter 11 about faith moving mountains. So she took it literally, prayed that night that the Lord would remove the mountain. The next morning, the mountain was still there. She replied, just as I expected. Well, we chuckle at this lady, but folks, how many times do you pray for someone and, well, just as I expected? What our expectation needs to be is God's going to do something. Faith is believing God's word to be true, and everything he says he will accomplish. And so out of this wonderful general verse, these general verses on praying to have a hearing, and when you have a hearing, you know you're going to get the answer. All that you desire of him, God will work, flows right into the most important part of prayer, is intercession. And so let's look at this verse that's so important here, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, And he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Because of a little bit about that sin unto death, many times people miss this precious set of verses. Now, it is assumed here that if a person is praying, they're going to then be sensitive to the needs of others. It's built right into here. You see, if we're abiding in Christ, we're going to love our brother, right? Isn't that what you found all the way through 1 John? If you are abiding in Christ, you're going to hate sin. If you're abiding in Christ, you're going to have fellowship with the resurrected Savior, and you're going to understand his heart for others. So you're assuming here that we understand, the writer is, all that is through the book of 1 John, so that when we get to this, it's obvious that if we have confidence that he's going to answer our prayers, then we're going to get busy, because we love people, to pray as Christ would pray for them. And folks, it has always been the case that those people who have accomplished most for the Lord have been those who have believed in powerful intercessory prayer. John Wesley spent 2 hours a day in prayer. By the way, does that sound a little bit more understandable now? If you have been having victory in 1 hour with prayer, that's exciting. Samuel Rutherford rose at 3 o'clock each morning to wait upon God. John Fletcher was said to have stained the walls of his chamber by the breath of his prayers. And you could go on, and it's no accident that these men forged ahead and saw mighty victories in the lives of people. It is the law of God, how he operates and how he works. So let's look at the reason here for the need to intercede. Very simple. If any man see his brother sin a sin. Well, one thing this teaches us, Christians can sin. Okay, did you get that? Does anybody here doubt that? Okay, everybody by experience. But you know, some people will say if you practice sin, you're not saved. And that's not what 1 John teaches. You're not abiding. Now, obviously, a person who has no heart for God, a profession is not salvation. But that's not the main thrust of this book. And so it's important for us to understand that Christians, unfortunately, like Paul says in Romans chapter 7, are battling sin all the time, but the victory can be ours. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. The victory is ours. And so the reason that we intercede is we're seeing sin. Now, if we can see sin, that means that, this is really deep, folks, it can be seen, okay? In other words, sometimes we don't know what's going on in a person's heart. But think about it. So often, what is going on inwardly will manifest itself outwardly. And oftentimes, the outward sins, maybe of reactions in relationships or some escape habits or whatever, are simply indicators of a deeper problem, such as with bitterness or other things, that we need to pray that God will work deeply in their heart. So I want you to get this. This is why the prayer journal is so important. If you are especially responsible for certain people, close to certain people in this assembly, and you can clearly see without being critical, but just it's obvious, they are not walking in the Spirit. They are manifesting sin, maybe an uncontrolled tongue. Maybe they're doing some things. Maybe they're not faithful like they ought to be, indicating problems. The minute you see a person who clearly is having a sin problem, what are you supposed to do? Not neglect them. Not necessarily immediately rebuke them, though I do think we ought to counsel and be a friend if we're close to them and talk to them. But what's the first thing we should do? Pray. In fact, here, folks, this is a real admonition. That's why our prayer journal should be filled with people. We're praying, of course, for the unsaved top five, but we ought to be praying for those that we are burdened for who are in the realm of our influence, and we see they're struggling. And, folks, a person who's not living in victory, they are having more problems than you know. They're not getting away with it. And so if we have any love for God and any heart like Christ, then we are going to take the time and believe it makes a difference to get on our face and bring these people before God with the faith that we're going to see here in this verse. Now, I trust that'll strike your heart. There's nothing more thrilling than to see people delivered. And I want to tell you, it happens all the time. There are deliverances all over this church body all the time. That's what keeps me going. God answers prayer. God directly answers prayer. God specifically answers prayer. I mean, it's shouting ground what God does when you pray. And it's not even sometimes you can say anything about it. You'll sometimes hear me make allusions to things, but I got to be careful because I got to protect people that are here. But I am telling you, God answers prayer when we intercede because he said he would. And that's God's will. So therefore, you already have a hearing, which means you're going to see God work. So that is our responsibility. The way it is here in the... This is the only time in the New Testament that it's said this way. Sinning a sin is really the idea here. A brother sin a sin, which has marks the outward nature of the act and underlies its sinfulness. In other words, it's obvious and it is a problem. Now, the reason we ought to be disturbed is, as I've already said, a person that is having some sin in their life, it's obvious, and they're not having victory. Folks, it's not a static situation. You see, they are heading into death. It's not the pronoun in which it would be into, or the preposition. It is instead moving in the direction of death. And so when a person is sinning, they're not right with God. They are spiritually in deadness. And they could even be going down the road of physical death because of the choices that they are making. That's a very serious matter. Having been in the ministry as long as I've been, I'm telling you, the consequences of sin aren't pretty. Consequences of church discipline are not pretty. It's really, I tell you, I fear God. I tremble when I think about it. I've never seen anybody get by with sin. Over the years now, I've had people just groan about the choices they made. You do reap what you sow. There's spiritual deadness, and then there can't even be God taking. I have seen that happen. I remember someone in my dad's church some years back directly sinned, continued to go, and then began to go against the work of the Lord. In fact, there were two of them. Gone. Now, I don't know exactly what all happened. I'm just a kid. I don't even know the inside of it. But I'm telling you what, I fear God. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says that there are some sick among you and some sleep. Speaking of the willful sin against God. And so we've got to understand, folks, there is no neutral position. And if we really love someone and we see they're starting to get into something and they're beginning to go down a track they shouldn't, or their attitude's not right, or they're definitely eaten up with bitterness, it's obvious they are sinning. They are sinning and going toward death, speaking of obviously spiritual death and physical death, then what should we do? We should pray. We need to be the one to stand up as an intercessor. So that's the reason for it. When sin, lust bringeth forth sin, and when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And the thing I've learned over the years in intercession is that you got to hit it off as fast as you can. Because there's this pathway and this juncture and this other juncture. People start getting hurt. Consequences get deeper. Harvest gets worse all the time. And I tell you why, it's right to get desperate. We have seen some answers to prayer in Christians' lives in just the last few months that have saved the day for their entire life. It is glorious. I'm telling you, my God's on the throne. This word is true. He will answer your prayer. He is not just talking here. This is the word of the living God for someone who is in fellowship with the resurrected Savior, who's abiding in Christ, who has that heart of love for Christ, who is having personal victory over sin because of the grace of God. That Christian can pray and God will intervene. It's a wonderful thing. Now, what's the result of this intercession? I'm already saying it there. He shall ask, and he shall give. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and he will give. What will he give? He will give life. Look at, again, this verse. He shall give life for them that sin not unto death. And so through intercession, God will bring people back to him, the author of life, the sustainer of life, the abundant life. And so this is what, in fact, this is what the Lord is doing all the time in intercession himself. Back in 1 John chapter 2, you remember verse 1? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who's that? Jesus Christ the righteous. You a little discouraged today? Jesus has already prayed for you today. The Spirit has made intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. The triune God is on your side today. That's pretty encouraging. Well, that's why it's so wonderful in an hour of prayer. Just open your heart to God. Get into the throne room of the triune God. You can't get out of those few minutes without being encouraged. Everything's fine. And the deepest trial is a blessing because God is using it for good. And you know it to be true. It's a wonderful thing. And so it's God's will to restore people back to spiritual life so that their spiritual life is not hurt and their physical well-being does not bring them even eventually to a place even of death. And oh, how the prayers of the saints mean so much to the Lord. I love Revelation. We just read that in December. And the prayers of the saints, that wonderful, those vials full of odors, fragrances before the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, every time you pray, every time we pray together as a church, the throne knows. God is working. Hebert, who has a wonderful commentary on this book, says, Spirit-empowered, Bible-based praying is working with God at the very point where the action is. Now, let me say it again, okay? Spirit-empowered, Bible-based praying is working with God at the very point where the action is. Now, where is the action from heaven? It's in seeing people saved and seeing Christians delivered so other people can be saved. So when you get involved in intercession for the lost and involved in intercession for sinning Christians, you are right where God is. In fact, when you get into intercession, if you've struggled really sensing the presence of God, you'll start sensing the presence of God if your heart's right. Because you realize, I am right where God is working. And I tell you, some of the greatest confidence I've ever had have not been material things that we've prayed for, but confidence with people. Now you say, Pastor, don't people have a free will? Absolutely. Every time you pray, God's working on that will. He won't violate your will, folks, but he can make you willing. I love Paul Levine's song, The Hornet Song. How many have ever heard the Hornet Song? I can just hear him. And who was his sidekick? Who is it? Bob Finley. Yeah, the blind singer. And wouldn't exactly make the Metropolitan Opera, but maybe the Nashville Grand Ole Opry. But anyway, but it was good. And but they would sing about the hornet. The hornet, I can't remember how it goes, but the hornet can't make you get out of the room, but can sure make you willing to go. And really what you are doing is you are praying for the hornets of God's involvement in people's lives. I had a grandmother and a mom and dad that prayed. I know about those hornets. My will was never violated, but I'm telling you, I got boxed in. I got boxed right in. I had only one way to go, and that was right through into the will of God again and get right with God. Man, am I glad. I tell you, when you got godly people ganging up on you, it just gets narrower and narrower, and you see God, and God begins to work, and God pulls at your heart, and God stirs you, and guess what happens? You get right with God. In fact, you get intense. Some of you got intense about praying about a bus, and we got the bus. You get more intense about people that you're burdened about, and you're going to see it happen. You got to join with God because that's God's will. He wants those people back in fellowship. He said, I am come that ye might have life, John chapter 10, and that ye might have it more abundantly. And so it's very important that we believe that. And do understand that we need to get to praying. Because we don't know how God fully operates, and I think to try to answer all the questions here would not be wise. But obviously, these readers knew what he was talking about. As I already mentioned from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there are certain situations when God says, better for you to go home. Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 5 says that when we deliver one to Satan, we deliver them to the destruction of the flesh. We don't fully understand all of that. But the fact is, we want to intervene before a person gets so far from God they mock God. Their life is a disgrace to the cause of Christ. And we can't figure out how that is. And so we're not told to go figuring it out. We're just to pray about a person who has sin. And I want you to note here that it says, all unrighteousness is a sin, and there is a sin not unto death. In other words, the way we got to look at it is, anything that's unrighteous, not according to God's standard, not according to what's right, you see a person not living right, we need to get desperate for them. And it's all sin. There's a lot of sin that's not unto death at this point. So you pray and pray for God to work. And God will intervene. And remember, there is always hope if we pray. There is always hope if we pray. People that could have sinned the sin of the death, I believe, did not, because somebody stepped in and prayed. I don't know how all that works, but all I know is that we have the right and we have the responsibility to pray for a Christian that we know and that's in the realm of our influence and responsibility, we're to pray and to intercede that God will give them victory over sin. And that. And what does it say again back in the middle part of verse 16? And he shall give him life. I want you to know, I quote that verse every day when I pray. As I intercede, and as I claim the promises of God, I remind God that he has promised that when I pray for someone who is in sin, and they're obviously not right at the point of death, they are spiritually dead, they're on the wrong path, and I want to be an intercessor by the Spirit of God's power, and God, you have promised, if I pray, you will give life. And friends, he does. In fact, if we were to start going around testimonies, we'd find a whole lot of you and me, somebody else interceded for, and we're here today because they cried out to God for you. Isn't that right? Aren't you glad somebody's praying for you? That's what we're doing, by the way, even this 40-day journey. Did you know not really living out the Christ life is not something that pleases God? So what are we doing praying for one another? We're praying for life. We're praying for deliverance. We don't want to live a spiritually dead life. We want to live a spiritually abundant, alive life. And so that's why I'm desperate to pray for the ones that I'm praying for. And all the other leadership praying for the ones that they're praying for. You're important. And we're going to pray you have full life, and God has promised it. Aren't you glad for these verses? Do you believe them? Let me just say, if you believe them, you'll be an intercessor. Satan likes to come along and just say, what's the use? The mountain's too big. Situation's too hard. I don't see how that one's going to happen. Well, folks, I'm telling you, God loves to work in the impossible. Somebody has got to believe this verse. For that somebody you're thinking about, God can do it. And may God make us a group of intercessors. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord. Just a very direct message here from these verses that I think are so wonderful, and yet they're a deep challenge. You're a believer here. Thank God you have eternal life. Thank God for the life that you do have. But you'd say, Pastor, when you said, if I see someone that has sin heading down the wrong pathway, it is my responsibility to intercede, especially those that I am directly connected with. And I don't think it's really all that bad. You know, that's what happens. We don't realize that the pathway of sin leads to death. And you'd say, as a believer, I want to be more than a believer. I want to be more than concerned. I want to have a direct part in making a difference by going to the throne as an intercessor to find grace to help in time of need. My friends, it's one of the greatest things you can do for eternity, to stand with God and believe Him for spiritual life for someone who's struggling. God is able to give the victory. And you'd say, Pastor, I too often accept people's state in which they're really not where they ought to be. And I need to remember that if we sow to the flesh, we're going to the flesh reap corruption. I need to be alert to what I see and not be critical, not say anything, get on my face and begin to intercede and claim this promise and stay praying until I see God work. Even if I don't see it outwardly, I know He's working inwardly, and I'm going to pray that God will work until that person is willing and will be back restored to the abundant life of a believer. And I realize that needs to be far more a reality in my life. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up as a just indication, this is a need. I've got to be committed to do this, and I've got to believe God about it. All right, God bless you. Many hands. Big part is believing it. We're so fatalistic. Well, it's just the way it goes. No, it's not just the way it goes. That's why we're here. We're here to witness so folks can be saved. We are here to pray so Christians, and we're here to counsel and to confront so Christians won't be destroyed. Because for every Christian that goes down, there's 100 people that could have been reached with the gospel in the next several years. So there's a lot involved in believers' lives. Maybe here tonight you'd say, Pastor, if I were to die, I don't know what would happen to me. And as you talk about death, that scares me. And I'm burdened about my eternal life. Would you pray for me? God has just been working in my heart, and I need to know that I have everlasting life. Anyone like that? We'd sure love to pray for you. Just slip up your hand so I can see it, then put it back down. Anyone at all here tonight? Lord, I know that you're very interested in this message, and I know your spirit desires to use each one of us as a holy instrument in the hand of a mighty God for the rescue of dear people. Lord, thank you for those that rescued me through prayer. And Lord, I pray you'll continue to give me more and more power in intercession. Lord, it's such a glorious thing to see you work. Now, Lord, we need to be a church that believes you. Lord, all over this area and around this country, people could be reached if we would pray. And right here in this church, we could have revival if we would just pray. And we are seeing you work. So, Lord, would you answer the heart cry of these that raise the hand? Would you give them the victory that they are looking for now? In Jesus' name, amen.